Okay, we're taking care of your body. Now we're going to take care of your, well, brain, soul, spirit, emotions.
Yes.
Patrick Doyle's in the house from Veritas Counseling. And what was your topic?
You're going to live out of conviction or convenience?
Well, convenience. So now what else you want to talk about? Get a grip.
That's job security, Perry.
Move on. It's all about convenience.
Well, that's the problem. Because, God said that he sent the Holy Spirit for two reasons. One was to convict us of sin, right and wrong. And the other is to comfort us. And one of the things I want to talk about is the difference between living out of convenience, what's expedient to me, and conviction, which is what's expedient to God. And whose agenda do you think is going to turn out?
Mine.
Keep the delusion going, brother.
I'm looking for a scripture here.
Okay.
Go ahead, talk.
So, for example, you're in a relationship that's difficult, and you have conflict in your mind, in your heart, about how to whether or not you should bring something up with someone, whether or not you should how should you discipline the child, how should you deal with your folks, how should you deal with a coworker, your boss, and you have a choice at that moment. I can do it because it's not going to bother me. It's going to be easier. Or you can say, God, what would you have me do? Now, sometimes God's way is actually a lot easier. But also, sometimes God's way is more difficult. And here's what it does. It forces you to put your trust in God instead of your agenda. And this is my point here is that that's where peace is found, is living in conviction is where you find peace, not necessarily comfort. And peace and comfort are very different things. So if I just want my circumstances to line up and go the way I want them to go, I tend to avoid conviction. I tend to rationalize, minimize, justify it. And I start to just do what feels best to me at the moment. Now, if you look around, there's a lot of people who do what feels best to them at the moment. And that usually leads to some pretty significant relationship breakdowns. It leads to a lot of anxiety. I mean, how many of you live with stuff in your soul that you know is not okay, and you just keep it in there? That is going to destroy your relationships, your peace, your ability to focus. It has a negative effect on you, and it builds. It doesn't stay the same. And that's one of the things I see people all the time doing when they want to avoid the conflict. They just hold it in, and they avoid that confrontation. They avoid that conviction, and that just slowly eats away at them. And this is one of the things I see happening all the time within the body, is that we have a lot of things that are very undealt with. And so it hurts our relationships.
I have a problem with that.
Okay.
I think there's a time where we just put too much on the table. We're living in a world where we're living in a time where everything has to be out on the table.
Mm.
And I don't know if I agree with that. Well, I mean, where's the turn the other cheek and just move on? I mean, some things you just got to absorb and move on. If you put too much on the table, right, you're just asking for a fight.
Well, but here's the thing. What I'm talking about is living out of conviction, not my idea. So if God is convicting you that you need to deal with this, then you need to deal with it. And I'm in agreement, Perry. I don't think that everything that comes around needs to come out. I have kind of a rule of thumb in my own life, which is that if I can sort of get to peace in my own spirit about something, mm-hmm, like someone wrongs me, and I go to God and I'm like, mm-hmm, God, help me. What do I do here? And I can get to a place of actual peace, not denial, not rationalization, not minimization about that thing. I prefer that because the scripture does say it's the glory.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's the glory of kings to overlook a matter. Okay. So, but when God convicts me to get involved, and God convicts me to confess, or God convicts me to confront, then that's a totally different thing. And that's what I mean. That's very different than living out of my own convenience or what feels most comfortable to me. And it's really about following his agenda, not mine, which isn't always easy. I'll grant you that.
Yeah, because I think one of the most difficult things I went through lately was where another ministry just flat stepped on us.
Right.
And then turned around and said they didn't do it. And so I'm thinking, well, okay, what do I do with this? You know, how do I respond to that?
Right.
Every bone in my body wanted to be judge, jury, and executioner.
You know? Emphasis on the executioner.
Yeah. And so anyway, I wrote 3 letters.
Mm.
I was ready to send them all. And I was standing in the shower one morning. God said, vengeance this morning. Leave it alone.
There you go.
And I...
That would be an example of conviction.
Yeah. So I can't tell you that was easy.
No.
You know, and it still bubbles up, and I probably shouldn't even have mentioned it now.
Right.
But the point is that it does bubble up once in a while. But sometimes we just start talking, and all this stuff comes out, and I'm thinking, what benefit is it?
Well,
I was thinking of the World War II veterans.
Uh-huh.
We watched the D-Day thing and all that on television the last couple of weeks.
Right.
There seemed to be an unwritten code with that generation. And that is, they just didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
Didn't talk about it. And I thought, you know what? That was so healthy for the healing of a nation.
Right.
Even though it was painful, they just didn't talk about it.
Well, there's a part of that that can be healthy. There's another part of that can be very destructive. There are certain things that need to come out. And what I'm emphasizing here is that God is the one that knows. I don't know. I'm not a believer in holding everything in, and I'm also not a believer in letting everything out. I'm a believer in letting God be the decider of what needs to come to the surface. I don't have that kind of wisdom. I don't know.
Mm.
So that's what I'm saying is living out of conviction is the goal, not out of my convenience. And God will be very clear with you like he was with you in the shower.
All right, let me say you're welcome to call in 776-5368 while Patrick clears his throat there. 776-53. You need to get rid of that stupid latte thing you're drinking.
It's coffee, man.
No, is it pure coffee?
It's just coffee.
You got anything else in there?
Well, sugar and cream. But
oh, there you go, cream. All right, 776-5368.
I don't really like coffee. I like cream.
You
and
just
sugar.
Have coffee with your sugar and cream. We're talking about. All right. Well, you know what's so interesting? In this pressure cooker society that we live in,
yeah,
it's amazing to me that everybody wants to talk about themselves. They are really not interested in the other person.
Mm-hmm.
So where is conviction and convenience in that?
Well, exactly it. And see, when we have an intimacy with God, there's no way you're going to live in God's economy and not be convicted about other people. Here's the deal. Jesus said, look, if you come to the altar and there you remember that your brother has something against you, you go make it right with him before you come and make your offering. God... Take the log out of your own eye before you take the splinter out of your brother's. God, in the scripture, the offended never make the first move. It's always the offender who makes the first move if there's going to be healing and reconciliation. And so in God's economy, there's no way you're going to only think about you. That's not going to happen if the Holy Spirit's involved.
Maybe my brain's not. I had
cheesecake.
It's out there. I just found out I'm not supposed to take my vitamins on an empty stomach. Maybe that's my problem.
You're overamped.
I over-vitamined. Hey Terry, what's on your mind?
Hey, I may be shifting gears here, but
we'll go. With
I got a friend that his wife divorced him recently, and they're both really strong believers here from Rogue Valley, and I happen to know a little bit about her past in that she was small child, she was raped by her father continually, and she never came to grips with that.
Be careful.
At
be careful
all here. and you know that some of that baggage that she's carrying around, and she divorced her husband based on the fact that she felt the Lord leading her to do that. And I was convicted, that I needed to call her and tell her that our God is not a God of confusion. But she clings to that feeling thing about feeling that God needed to, or that God was leading her to divorce her husband. And I, you know, I really think that if people to deal with those things that are bottled up inside, that they realize the truth and maybe choose some godly ways. What do you think?
Well, I think that...
Well, that's loaded.
Yeah, I think that conviction is the way to go. I agree that when people are deeply wounded and it's never dealt with, it can cause a filtering of reality. I experienced it myself. I was abused by my father, and it affected how I saw the world. God was faithful, though, and is faithful, to continue to clarify that for me. So this is one of the things I'm saying, Terry, is that if you indeed are in God's economy, he's going to bring healing to those things. That's what he does. And sin happens in the world. People make decisions every single day that are wrong and unjust and hurtful and confused. And our hope has to be in God's ability to redeem. It's not our job to judge. It's our job to be God's vessel to bring about redemption. In your case, God convicted you to say, hey, I want you to take a look at this. But ultimately, remember, God's in charge of the outcome. And I worked with many divorced people who God has used those sins to really reveal himself.
Well, let me ask you this, Terry. Are you reaching out to defend the faith, or are you reaching out to love her through her problem?
Well, I was reaching out to love her through the problem. I prefaced everything with my love for her as a sister in Christ.
Right.
And in that, you know, we have to trust the Word of God, you know, and I was encouraging her to take another look at what she's doing, because we can't jump out on feelings, you know. We can't jump out on feelings over what we know the Word says. And I said, you know, our God is not a God of confusion, and he's not going to say one thing in the Word and then tell you something that directly opposes that.
Right.
And you know, and we ended on a good note, and I said, I hope this means that we can continue to dialogue. But, you know, I think that there's a lot of sin happening, you know, immediately in our lives with close friends and relatives where we choose to say nothing. I don't know exactly what the answer is, but I'm troubled about her not dealing with issues of the past. And, of course, I can't, you know, I'm not a counselor. I can't deal with that.
Right.
But I was encouraging her to, you know, get some counseling and maybe repair the marriage.
Right. Okay, good stuff. Thank you, Terry.
All right, thank you, guys. You're doing a great job.
Thank you. Well, there's a classic case of conviction versus convenience.
Well, and again,
my only caution would be there that...
we don't know the details.
Well, we don't know a lot of details, but on the surface,
right?
There is a tendency to defend the faith, and I understand that and what the Bible says.
Right.
But you're dealing with a person who's not dealing with reality, and therefore she may reject this as just further pressure.
Right. Well, and without knowing all the details and... You know, coming from my position as a counselor, you know, there's a ton of other things that may and could be going on in that situation that would lead to that reality. So without knowing all those things, it's really dangerous to talk about. But in principle, I think that what Terry was talking about is really important, which is that he had a conviction that he followed up on and made a statement. And look, one of the things I want to really reiterate here is that conviction does not equate judgment. God is the only one qualified to judge. We may be called on to identify something, but it's not our place to judge. So, as a person who works with a lot of wounded people, the worst thing I could do would be to judge them in the middle of their strife. And I work with a lot of people who've got a lot of sin going on in their life, and they know it, and they're believers. And it's my job to walk with them through it. Now, I'm not going to shade the truth for one second. And at the same time, I'm going to walk with them through it. And there's a balance there that I think that only the Holy Spirit can provide. Because as a human, you know, I get concerned about the outcome. What's going to happen? And should they do this? And what about this? And that's not good. And I don't have the power to control those things. It's my job to be a vessel of God's love, which may mean an encouraging word, or it may mean a confrontational word. Love is both sides of that. And so conviction sometimes means I get off my duff and go and get involved in somebody's mess and help them out and encourage them and give them some love. Sometimes it's I got to go tell that person some hard things.
All right, maybe you got some questions here. 776-5368. Patrick Doyle with us, heads up Veritas Counseling. And that number is 622-6018. And he's located in his new office there in Newton Square in Jacksonville.
Right. And so the other thing I would say here is that in the process of moving in this conviction, I think that what you will see is a reality of God that is not really possible to see without this. When God convicts you to do something, like Perry, when you brought up the example of being in the shower and God telling you don't do it, I mean, that's one of the ways you know he's real. You know he's involved in your life. And even though you don't maybe like the outcome of the conviction, it reveals him to you. Hey, he's with me. He knows about this thing. He's talking to me about it. Mm. But if you never act on that stuff, then your intimacy with him dissipates because there's no involvement. It's like, you know, if my dad goes to war for 2 years and I don't get to see him, it dissipates our relationship. It doesn't mean I don't love him, but I don't get to see him. I don't get to interact with him. I don't get to develop memories. I don't get to develop intimacy. I'm just waiting.
How do you draw a line from knowing that it's conviction versus maybe really defending your position? Because
right.
I have found out that people really don't care what you think. They don't. They only care what they think.
That's true sometimes. I mean,
I have to ask the question, are you teachable?
Yeah.
And if you're not, then why even go to church? You're just going to sit there watching a guy, you know, say something, and it's not going to sink in. It's already bouncing off.
Right.
At what point do you simulate what you believe and put it into action?
Right. Well, and see, that's to me what conviction does. Conviction by the Holy Spirit brings about actions. It's a change in how I'm behaving. It's not a change in how I'm thinking primarily. When I'm convicted, I was a drug addict. I was behaving in ways that were hurting me and people that love me. God convicted me and he said, no more. Oh, okay. That was a behavior change. It wasn't that I got a bunch of information about how bad drugs were for you. I mean, that was kind of obvious. But, you know, throughout my life, many times, the person I am today is the result of his consistent conviction. The reason why I don't go off the deep end now, same reason, conviction. It's not because I don't have carnal desires. It's not because I'm not a man. It's not because I'm not a sinner. It's because God is merciful and relentless through the conviction of his Holy Spirit to keep me safe. If I was left to my own devices, it would not be good. And I think that's true for all of us.
Do you think that the pressure of responsibility can be a good thing then to hold you in line? I mean,
that's a two-edged sword, actually. I've seen in folks' lives, the pressure of responsibility can be a hiding place and a false sense of value, or it can be a real boundary system where people realize these are my responsibilities given to me by God, and I'm gonna by his power motivate and walk through them. But I've also seen people who have accumulated responsibilities and they hide behind them and they leverage them, and then it creates a ton of pressure on the inside and it keeps them from being able to really be vulnerable with anyone. And then that has long-term negative consequences to their soul. Mm. So I've seen both happen. But again, it's you know, what's the motive for why you're doing it? Are you doing it because you want to feel better, or are you doing it in a response to what God has done on your behalf? That responsive living to God's love is the key to sort of harnessing the power of the goodness or the health or the holiness.
Well, what a point do we just say we're not going to do that because we know that it's wrong?
Well, I think
everything's pulling at you to find a compromise. I think what we have done in our culture is we've created a livable gray area by which even the church, in a lot of ways, I say the church, the faith community, has found a way to exist and allow a little here, thinking that, well, that's okay, but it's not all the way. It's this much, that much. Mm-hmm. So we found this gray area, and we're trying to spiritualize it. Right. And righteousize it into being okay.
You know, that's been going on since the first century, because Paul, in his letters to the Corinthians, was dealing with them making black and white into gray.
Yeah.
And it's human nature. Human nature wants to dumb down the intensity of the truth so we can get away with it. We can feel good about it. And God said, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the reasons why. Because if I don't convict you of sin, you'll live in it.
All right. But if sin is no longer sin in the culture.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And but, see, that's the trap that the Christian community, especially evangelicals, have got them. I say a trap. That's what they're being criticized for. Because we're saying the Bible says don't do it. The world is saying, oh, you're being too fundamental.
Right. And we're doing it.
All right. We're doing it. All right. Hi, Eleanor. You're next. Go ahead. Hi, Eleanor.
How about Lenore?
Oh, Lenore.
Lenore, this is Lenore.
Oh, we got an E in front of that. Well, hello, sweetie. How you doing?
Oh, well, I'm doing fine.
All right.
Perry, I'm particularly interested in what you're talking about, and when you were saying that you were in the shower and the Lord said, I'll take care of it.
Yeah.
The question in my mind is that I have difficulty with turning the other cheek. I'm rather aggressive.
I don't believe that for a moment. You're the sweetest thing on earth.
Well, I bake your way. I love people.
Well, you bake your way out of problems.
Yes.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's all right. And I need to solve the problem before I go to the altar. Mm. I'll get off the line and let you just tell me what you about those two things: the other cheek and taking care of the problem before you go to the altar.
Mm.
Okay,
right. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, bye.
All right. I think part of this, and I think this could be an area where you get into the gray spot here, and I don't want to do that. I think part of this conviction you're talking about is God talking to you.
Yes.
I think if it was always calling the other guy and say, will you forgive me, we'll do that and go out and do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Are you convicted to the point where, I mean, have you ever come to communion and said, you know what, I better not take it today?
Mm. Mm-mm.
Well?
Because that's what I'm doing when I do communion is I'm asking God for conviction to get right. I want to know.
Yeah, but he goes on and says, you know, we're just eating and drinking damnation into our soul.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a time where if you're not clean inside, you say, you know what, I'm not going to do that today.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get this right. And part of that rightness is just in your own heart that you got to let it go or you got to make it right or you got to do something. I mean, so God's dealing with you. But I think we think, well, we just, you know, we take communion. Somehow that just washes it all away.
Mm-hmm. Well,
do you have a doctrinal problem with that?
Yeah.
Okay, I figured you did. I can't wait to look in your eyes. We take communion because everybody else around us is taking it. Have you ever stopped and said, you know what? I'm under conviction. I'm not going to take it.
And that's not why I take it, though.
Okay.
I take communion as a celebration of God's sacrifice to cover my sin.
What about the examination that it requires?
Well, what I'm saying is in my gratitude of understanding that God forgave me of my sins, and this is a celebration of that act, I'm celebrating the fact that Christ went to the cross, suffered and died and rose again on my behalf to clean me. And that is the motivation of why I don't want to do it again. And that's what I keep trying to say, is that it's a response to his overwhelming love. If somebody really loves you, you don't want to hurt them.
Okay.
You want to respond to them. And so Eleanor's saying, Lenore's saying, I'm kind of angry. I don't have trouble with turning the other cheek. And when she was talking, I wanted to say, welcome to the club.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's human nature to hold on to an offense. But here's the thing. If God comes to you, Lenore, and he says, honey, that's my business to deal with, like he did you, Perry, then you trust him. And it may take talking to him every 30 seconds for a few days to get to that. But I promise you, he will give you the ability to let that offense go. It's up to him. You don't have the power. I don't have the power to forgive someone of a deep wound. That's God's granting me forgiveness. That's what the scripture talks about. It's not me mustering it up. Remember his promises. What has he said specifically to you? How has he expressed his love specifically to you? Think about that in those circumstances. That will alter your soul.
Well, you and I have all seen the and heard and experienced the stories of forgiveness and reconciliation.
Right.
Then there's a lot of forgiveness without reconciliation,
mm-hmm.
and you don't forget.
Right.
And you have a hard time continuing to forgive,
yeah.
And I think that's another process.
Yeah, and you know, forgiveness and reconciliation, we don't have time, but those are two separate processes. And if you forgive someone, that's between you and God. To reconcile means you and the other person, but you don't reconcile with somebody who's unrepentant. That's just asking for trouble, but you must forgive. That's between you and God.
Patrick Doyle, 622-6018, the number to his office over there at Noonan Square at Veritas Counseling in beautiful Jacksonville. And you have a web thing?
Yeah, veritascounseling.com.
There you go.
Thanks.